Rockefeller didn't just build a business. He built something much bigger, and it changed the whole world. If you liked part one, part two is where it begins.
Hey, this is Greg McAfee, and welcome to the Greg McAfee Show. Now let's get started. I want to talk about something that, and this is probably going to be a two-part because there's just too much meat on the bone for me to skip over things. But John D. Rockefeller did something really cool, and he called it the 5-minute stand-up meeting. Now, that's the coolest thing I have ever heard of, because when you hear how he did it, mostly with his leadership team, and it was daily. You don't have to do it daily, but he did his daily 3 to 5 minute stand-up meeting with leadership. Long meetings hide poor preparation. I know people who have the longest meetings in the world, and they are worthless. Worthless. If you had to measure what they do for people, it probably only 10% of what they talk about is worth talking about. Sitting invites too much comfort. John didn't like people to get comfortable. Neither do I. Comfort kills urgency. So they stand. I bought at McAfee when we built McAfee Heating and Air and Plumbing, when we built the building, remodeled the entire building. It was run down. It was all run down. We put made in the USA standing, sitting desks because I wanted people to be able to stand up and move around. There were no cubes anymore. The cubes were old school standing, sitting desk, and they were nice. They were white, large, two monitors and plenty of room to work, and we just had some cool stuff. But that's how I think. And because comfort kills urgency. And these meetings for John were standing, they were short, they were ruthless, and they were action-focused. And here's some interesting stuff. John didn't speak much at all. Many meetings, he wouldn't say a word. They would go around the room, they had a system, and John was a listener. A lot of times he would even lay back and close his eyes. Standing up, he would just kind of close his eyes. He was listening. And each leader had to answer three things. What moved forward since yesterday? What was blocked since yesterday? What will move today? Now, that's pretty cool. That you would get a lot done doing this each day. Rockefeller rarely spoke. Like I said, he was listening. There was no storytelling. There was no excuses. No excuses. Excuses just get in the way. Just fess up and move on. And there was no problem solving at these meetings. Again, what moved forward since yesterday? What was blocked since yesterday? And what will move today? And we can figure out all the problems later. This is a 3 to 5 minute leadership stand-up meeting. So, why this matters so much for small business owners, this is where you speak directly to the listener. You, the owner, are the listener. Small business owners are drowning in meetings. I'm telling you, I've been in meetings that I just want to get up and walk out, and actually, I have. Actually, I have. It's not a win friends, influence people time for Greg, but I have got up in board meetings and walked out, because I just can't, I can't take that. We're wasting time. Don't waste time. Small business owners are drowning in text, drowning in emails, drowning in firefighting, putting out way too many fires, not delegating well, but they're starving for clarity. They're starving for momentum, and they're starving for accountability. You know, as a business owner, we need to be held accountable. The higher accountability level you have, the more accomplished of a business owner you will be. Write that one down. So the stand-up meetings do five things. They force daily progress. You can't hide for a week. They expose excuses immediately. Drift becomes visible. You start drifting. You start coasting. You're going downhill. And number three, it protects time. 5 minute replaces 50 minutes. If you get in the habit of it, you say, I can't do a meeting in 5 minutes. All right, let's just pretend your meeting's an hour. And that's actually on the short side. But let's pretend your meeting's an hour. So here's your goal. Tomorrow, we're doing 45 minutes. If it's not done at 45 minutes, you get up and walk out. And eventually people will get in the habit and then go down to 30 and then go down to 20 and then go down to 10 and then go down to 5. It may take weeks. It may take a couple months. I don't know. Or you might say, we don't even have meetings. Oh, I hate to hear that. I just hate to hear that. I've heard it before. And then here's the worst thing I could hear as a business coach. If I have meetings, what will we talk about? Oh my gosh. I want to say, dude, you shouldn't be an owner. Go work for someone. All right. Also, it builds leaders, not dependents. You know, we are not an adult daycare. Ownership replaces blaming. And lastly, it creates momentum culture. Something must move every single day. If you're not moving, you're not growing, okay? Remember about the bamboo tree. If you're not watering and fertilizing and nurturing, it's not going to grow in 5 years. And if nothing moves today, something is broken. And that's usually you. It starts at the top, and it's usually your leadership team. All right. Now, how can a small business implement this? Like I've talked about, it's practical. It's speak plainly for 5 minutes. If you have five people on your leadership, everybody gets 60 seconds. That's it. If you have three, then figure it out. If you have 10, well, then 30 seconds each. I mean, figure it out. If you have 10, you probably have too many. Depending on the size of your company, I mean, come on. And you got to do it the same day every day. If you're late to a 5 minute meeting, don't have one. It doesn't work. If it's important to you, you'll make time to do it. That's all I'm saying. If you want your business to grow, if you want your business to be different, if you want your business to be successful, if you want your business to be number one in your territory, you'll do things that other people aren't willing to do. And you'll find time to do it. It's got to be standing. It's not sitting. Remove the chairs if you have to. As long as someone can stand, of course. Phones, put a box out there or something, and everybody has to leave their phone outside the door. Each leader gets 60 seconds. You got yesterday going on. You got today. And one obstacle. What's keeping you up at night? So, you know, we're moving forward since yesterday. What is blocked from yesterday? And what will we move today? So today is, what one obstacle is keeping you up at night? Anything else happens elsewhere? This is not a meeting to discuss the problems you discuss at this 5 minute meeting. I say again. And then I've learned from John D. Rockefeller this. It's really cool. For me. This was for John D. Rockefeller. I hope it's for you. I've heard from many of you that you do appreciate my Christianity, my clean version, and all that stuff. God owns it all. We don't own anything. We're just a manager. We're just a steward. That's why this is about stewardship. Our responsibility as a steward and a manager is really, really important. And I believe we will be held accountable one day for how we manage our company and how we make our money. So number one, God owns it all. Number two, tithing is just, it's the floor of everything I do. It's the floor. I follow where my heart is, there will also be my treasure. Where my treasure is, there will be my heart, okay? Because if your heart is right, that's where your treasure will be. Believe in tithing. Believe in giving. I believe in paying well. I believe in taking care of people. Inside, outside. Internal, external. And it's been a meaningful part of my Christian walk since I told you I heard growing up, the church just wants your money, and there would be a $10 or a $20 bill thrown in at Christmas and Easter. So God had to show me. It wasn't anything that came easy to me. I did not understand giving, and I really thought that same way because that's what I heard growing up. So, and he did. He showed me. Larry Burkett ran a show called Christian Financial Concepts on the radio. I got hooked on it, glued to it, ended up becoming certified to teach his content and coach and all that kind of stuff and counsel and become debt-free, which I did. So I know I've been blessed abundantly from tithing. I don't give to get, but I get from giving. And it's not just an Old Testament concept at all. It is, there's nothing in the New Testament that says you must tithe, but Jesus talks about giving, a giving spirit. And know this, profit proves stewardship. Scale increases accountability. When you're scaling and growing, you're increasing your accountability because you're going to be held more accountable than anyone else. And idle capital is a failure to both John D. Rockefeller and me. That's how I think about it. Idle capital is a failure. And I actually had to learn this because I think I told you, just starting to grow and actually have money in the bank was a blessing. And I didn't know, hey, maybe we should take some of that money out and do this and do that. And the money kind of got up there in quantity. And an advisor of mine told me, you need to take some of that money out and do this with it or do this with it. And so I did, because remember, I was putting all the money back in for many years to grow the business. And it would be spent, and we would keep just a minimum amount of money in there. Sometimes we needed more. But as we grew, then we started having more and more and more money in there. So I learned. I had to learn. Nothing came easy for me. I had to learn, and I still do today. So idle capital is failure. Delegation multiplies your impact. I said earlier that a lot of you are too busy and you think that's success. It's not success at all. It's actually part of failure. You're too busy. You're not delegating. You're not hiring the right people to do what you shouldn't be doing. Clarity creates independence. And that's our goal. Governance over feelings. Again, that feelings come back in. You know, guys, especially men, we have concerns to younger men today. And what's young? I don't know, 30, 40, 45-ish? I don't know. We're challenged by what we've been taught or heard about the family business balance. I run into this so much. That keeps people from being more successful in their family and their business because of this. They're confused. They don't know what to do. And I've said before, you take time away from your family, it's going to suffer. You take time away from your business and it's going to suffer. What's important to you? If you're going to put in 80% of the time with the family and only 20% with the business, then don't be in business. And if you're going to be 20% family and 80% business, you shouldn't have a family. So there's a fine balance. It's knowing that certain times of the year, without this business, I have no family. I can't put food on the table. I can't provide, and I surely can't go on vacation. So it's a balance. And once you understand that balance with you and your spouse, boy, it makes things easier. But your spouse has to understand that. And maybe it takes a counselor to explain that to her. I don't know. But people get wacky. I'm telling you, it goes, businesses go under. Again, not because of talent, lack of discipline. It's not a balanced effort. And everybody wants to talk about that balanced family and balanced business. It definitely is. But if you're talking about it, you're probably off. You're probably way off. If you say it more than a couple times a month, you're off. You're concerned about it. And then, no excuses, no waste. I love that. And listen to this. Legacy is built early. There is no reason why you can't start giving the first year in business instead of waiting till the final years of life to be some type of philanthropist. I just believe if your gift is giving, then you should be giving all the way through and help families and children or whoever. I mean, if your calling is to help pets, then help pets. But I'll tell you, for me, it was children, families, community. And I tried to help. I tried to help that. Okay, these standards, these 10 standards that I just went through, they're not motivational quotes. They're operating standards. That's what they are. It wouldn't hurt your business to have more operating standards. Rockefeller understood something that most owners miss. Meetings don't create discipline. Standards do. Okay? So, here's some action plans. Try the stand-up meetings in the next 30 days and watch excuses disappear. Watch leaders rise and watch profits stabilize. That's very important. Your net worth, by the way, is temporary. Your stewardship is eternal. And someday, every one of us will get audited, because one day, every one of us is going to stand before God and give account to our life and to for our business, how we operated it, how we ran it, how we took care of people, how we didn't take care of people, all those types of things. And we will be held accountable. And, you know, like I told you about the guy that asked if there was a younger person who could help him. You know, I learned from his history. I learned from historical people. I learned from people that haven't been around for 100 years. That's who I learned from. They were extremely successful. John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest man in the world for many, many, many years. And he gave away more in his day, money-wise, than up until probably the last 10 years. So I can learn from that guy and people like him. Faith-based without being soft. There's nothing soft about it. I can be a Christian and be pretty firm, want to run a tight ship, want to be profitable. It's not a sin to be profitable. And without being soft, whether I'm scaling to 3 employees or 300 employees. And this gives owners something extremely beneficial to do Monday morning, for sure, to think about this. Now, I've given you a lot to chew on. Like I said, this could be, it could be one, it could be two, I don't know. But I will tell you this, if you'll apply some of this, it'll change your life, it'll change your business, it'll change your marriage. And if you disagree with me, that's okay. I have just been around a little longer than most of you, and I have coached couples. I have coached individuals, and then I have brought their spouse in on it. And I've been able to share the importance of a good balance and why. It's not one-sided by any means. It's a good balance. And you're going to be held accountable for how you balance. But you accepted that challenge when you took on a business, whether you started it or bought it. And so if you'll do some of these things, it'll change your life. And I really would like some feedback on this. I want to know what you think. Please hit that like button. That really helps us too. Take time right now just to hit that like button. If you're still listening, please hit that like button. I hope you're still listening. And tell your friends about us. My goodness. Your business friends. Tell them about it. Okay? And as always, carry on. God bless. Make this day the best day of your life, because we're not promised tomorrow. I'll see you later.